Good to be gathered in this way this morning. I'm reflecting a bit on something that I said briefly in passing last Sunday in the message. One of the things I said was that there's a number of words in the King James translation that come from the same or similar Greek words. And I don't know that I can pronounce them the way they're supposed to be pronounced, but they go something like this: parakletos and paraklesis and parakla echo. Anyway, the words that are translated then, comforter, consolation, exhorting, and advocate. I was thinking this week of the reason that, or in light of this, I was thinking about what is the reason that we come together. And certainly it is that the Lord be our focus, that we lay aside the things that we do throughout the week and worship Him. As well, the verse that I think I read then, or quoted from Hebrews 10, another reason that we come together, the writer of the Hebrews writes to them and says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Now, provoke in today's English is mostly come to mean to, stir somebody up a little bit, but it isn't exactly what this means. This provoke means to stir something in them, but to, in a positive way, and I'll read it in another translation a bit. "And not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So one of the reasons to come together is to provoke one another to love and good works, and to exhort one another. "And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together." It's a double negative. We could just simply say, well, let's meet together. But it says, "Let us not give up meeting." And apparently said it that way because he goes on to say, "as the manner," or I'm sorry, that's in the King James, "as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And so the interpretation, well, I'm not sure why they were giving up meeting together, but he wouldn't have written it that way to these people if some hadn't gotten into the habit of not cultivating this good habit. I don't know what the reason was. Was it persecution? Was it laziness? Was it no sense of need? Now, you remember, this was a new movement. And they began to meet on the first day of the week, where those that were Hebrews had been used to getting together weekly, I believe, but it would have been on the seventh day. But the practice eventually became to meet on the Lord's Day, the day that He rose from the dead. In any case, they had started to do this, and for some reason stopped. And so he's saying to these people, or at least weren't consistent or whatever. So he's saying to these people that he's writing to, don't do like some do. As I was thinking about this, I can't imagine giving up meeting together on the first day of the week. I mean, it's so much a habit or a part of us, and it's a good habit. But so often we quote this verse as saying, this is what we need to do. Let's meet regularly, and usually we meet, meet weekly or twice a week or whatever. But that's not the only thing it says. It says that we should do that, and that we should exhort one another or encourage one another. In a lot of these things, I was thinking about what Jesus said to his disciples. And, I'll read it and then... whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, what I was talking about is it's supposed to go both ways. You see, we're to encourage each other. It's not just one way. But do you remember what the setting was that Jesus said this to his disciples? You remember that the mother or the two disciples and the mother asked Jesus about in his kingdom having a place at the right and left hand of Jesus. And the others got upset about that idea. And then Jesus said this to them. You know, the Gentiles, they think greatness, the idea of others doing for them is greatness. But he says it's not. It shall not be so among you. Sometimes we talk about the upside down kingdom. So if every one of us comes together, not simply with the idea of receiving, but of giving. And I realize, depending on what our role is or our assignment in the service, perhaps it will lend itself more toward giving. But we have that opportunity then when we sit together in Sunday school or as we fellowship afterwards. The idea of not just coming to receive, but to give. And I realize that's not quite the interpretation of of these verses from Matthew, and yet I think it's a valid application. So we're not just meeting out of habit, although it's a good habit, but to spur on to love and good deeds and to encourage each other. Now, that's kind of the exhortation part that part. But I also said then, Comforter, Holy Spirit, comes from a very similar root. Thinking about the fact that as we're together and the Holy Spirit is among us, then it's not just like any other meeting. And I was thinking about the words of the song that we sing sometimes. Brethren, we have met to worship. And then it says, all is vain except the Spirit of the Holy One come down. And so the Holy Spirit among us then makes what happens here real. And I often have said or prayed that the Lord would take the same spoken word and apply it individually, because the same word, the same thing that is said can have many different applications because the Holy Spirit knows us. So the idea of exhortation, of comfort, of encouragement, you see, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And I quote from Vines. Literally, it means, the word that comforter, that is translated comforter, which means the Holy Spirit, when Jesus was talking to his disciples in John 14:6, I will send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. It literally means called to one side. It suggests capability or ability for giving aid. It was used in court to denote legal assistant or advocate. And I had mentioned that last week. And Jesus is that advocate for us now with the Father. And then it goes on to say, in the widest sense, a succorer, comforter. Jesus was this to his disciples. He was that comforter to his disciples, although he doesn't literally say that anywhere else. He just says, I will send you another comforter. By implication, he's saying, I'm going to send you one that will do what I've been doing for you during this time, that he may abide with you forever. You see, he had just got done telling them that he's going to leave, and they were sad. And so he said, let not your hearts be troubled, and so forth. But I'm going to send him so that he may abide with you forever. And when he was saying another comforter, it is saying another of the same kind, not another of a different kind. And so the Holy Spirit and Jesus of the same kind. Anyway, that he may abide with you forever. And just a little further down, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And I thought, play on words. But I looked it up, and comfortless actually comes from a different root than comfortor. But the interesting thing is, it comes from the word, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, orphanos or something like that, orphan. So I'm not going to leave you orphan. I'm going to come to you. The Holy Spirit will come. So, winding up, saying, let's be encouragers. I'm going to read just a few verses from 1 Corinthians. Actually, I'll read another translation. 2 Corinthians 1, 5 through 7. So let's speak encouragers like Barnabas was. Barnabas was called the son of consolation or the son of encouragement. And Paul, when he speaks to the Corinthians, speaks of consolation and comfort. And again, we find that in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 5 through 7. What we experience, we use to help another. And so the setting here is, he experienced persecution. And so he is saying, what happened to me during this, I'm passing on to you, the comfort that I get. Someone has said God comforts us not to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. And so that, I think that's what's describing here in 2 Corinthians 1, 5 through 7. God comforts us not, I'm sorry, I read the quote. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort in abundance through Christ. And Paul is saying, that's my experience. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort, and then I'm to pass on to you what I experienced from God. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharing of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. And so while we may not be suffering persecution, the application for us is this. Whatever we experience, whenever we experience the grace of God in our lives and overcome, that is then the opportunity for us to help someone else. I remember a number of years ago when we were going through a difficult time, I said to my wife, let's not waste this experience, but, you know, let's help others who may experience this as well. Let's deal. Father, we thank you that you have sent the Comforter who abides with us forever, and help us to learn how to receive the comfort that he gives and then to pass that on to others. Thank you for this body of believers. May we learn how to be encouragers one to another. May that be our experience today and in an ongoing way in our lives as a body. In Jesus' name, amen.